from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. It's time for the podcaster that says, hey, every once in a while, it's time to stop for a sympathetic yawn. Why? Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you could just listen for a few minutes or remember to check in our website, here's a few ways we keep our show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Sleep With Me is also made possible by all the hard work of Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios and Carl, who edit episodes. Posty also does the theme music. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer are on our artwork. Jonathan Mann is on our lullabies. You can commission a song from him at song.jonathanmann.net for any occasion. Go ahead and do it. Rave reviews, every person who's ever commissioned a song. Eric and the team at Astound are on our website. Sleep With Me is a proud member of both Night Vale Presents and PRX. NightValePresents.com and PRX.org to learn more about the wonderful things going on with both of them. Also, I personify both of those and have conversations with a couple of NVP and PRX, a couple of my letter friends. I don't know if I'm forgetting anything, but I'm @DearestScooter on Twitter and Instagram. Dearest Scooter. Sometimes I drop that T. And you know who stops for T and kindness are the listeners. They have their own listener Facebook group, and I want to thank the moderators over there. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, time, temperature, changes in your routine, moving, traveling, whatever it is, wind. I mean, that is something that's underrated of great things and annoyances. You say, what's up with that wind? And, you know, it depends on where you're at, and that's no judgment. Sometimes you're in a non-wind, you say, well, I'm not in the mood for the wind tonight. So if you could cut it out, cloud gods, quit your blowing. And they say, actually, it's a low pressure. I say, okay, thanks, Wayne Maher. Wayne Maher is a weatherman of my youth. Yeah, but so what was I saying? Oh, a lot of different things to keep you up at night. This podcast is here to keep you company. What I'm going to do is this. Send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, dusty tangents with a little bit of rust. Oh, creaky, dulcet tones, right? Is that what I said? Or creaky, did I say that? A lot of different things, extra words, going off point, obscenely long intro, where I don't get to the point of explaining what the podcast is, and in doing so, hearty har har, I kind of do. But here's the thing, if you're new, what I'm going to do with this intro is I'm going to try to make a metaphor of how the podcast works, possibly involving dogs tonight, because I got two right outside the climbing closet where I record the podcast. But what first I'll do is welcome. I'm glad you're here. I hope this podcast can help. It doesn't work for everybody, but give it a few tries. Don't try too hard to make sense of it. The parts of your brain that might try to make sense of this podcast, maybe the parts of you that aligned with the parts of you that keep you up. So keep a kickback and just barely listen. That's kind of what this podcast is. It's a bit more than background noise. But it would be like if you were, I guess this may be the metaphor that I wasn't looking for. I was going to talk about dog beds, but now I'm thinking about being a wind interpreter. And at first you might chortle, which is, I don't think is a word I've ever used on this podcast before, but you might chortle. You say, Scoots, there's no such thing. And I'd say, really? Well, ask the NWS, National Weather Service, or the International Weather Service, if there is one. Also, if either one of you offer, what are those called, honorary degrees, I'd love to become Dr. Weather, and maybe I would even sing a song about it. It would actually be just Stormy Weather, but it would be Dr. Weather. And if you want, when I receive the award, I could wear a lab coat, and maybe a cloud hat with a lightning bolt. That's just a proposal, but I'm actually in the middle of a podcast intro. But let's get back to that honorary degree in wind interpreting. Or maybe remind me to do a whole episode about the wind listener. Okay, but crickets in my brain. That's a good saying. So if you're new, clearly you don't need to listen to me. I think that was my first point. You kind of like listening to the wind. If you're in the right mood, you say, well, that's nice. It's a nice, a steady, well, not always steady, but, you know, it's a sound, and it's helping me unwind and get it deeper in bed and sink in. And maybe it's just like a nice, you know, bigger than a breeze, but not too heavy, where you say, okay, it's good. It's clean. You know, it's bringing some new air into town. About time we cleared out the air around here. So you say, okay, I could breathe with the wind. I can rest. But you're not trying to make sense of it too much. That's kind of what one way to listen to this podcast. So you could listen however you choose. Yeah, I just want to let you know and give you full permission. You don't have to listen to me. So that's one. Two, I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. I won't really put you to sleep. I'll just be here at your side as you drift off into dreamland. Not that differently, to continue with the wind metaphor, if I was holding some dried leaves, you know, and there's no wind, you'd just say, okay, got some dried leaves in my hand. And some people might say, well, Scoots, what are you doing holding dried leaves? Are you going to crunch them for a soothing sound? I say, no, though that is an idea. As long as these are 100% dried leaves, then that would be okay. No, I'm just waiting for a breeze to come in and carry them lightly off of my palm and drift them away to a new home. You know, where they could support a biome just so I could just sneak in a cheap rhyme and then forget what I was going to say. But, you know, they gently drift away. Ideally, you'll drift away, and you know, as I'm talking. But if you can't sleep, I'll be here till the end. Believe me, I make this show as much for all the people that fall asleep, I think, make it a complete podcast. Even if you fall asleep in the 10 minutes, the hour podcast is really what's putting you to sleep somehow. But I also make this podcast for the sliver of people who can't fall asleep. I'll be here till the end, gently rambling and interpreting the wind or listening to the wind. So, okay, those are the things. Structurally, the show starts off a little late for this, but it starts off with an intro that's around 12 to 15 minutes after some business that we open the show with. There's some business between the intro and the story. And then there'll be, tonight we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. But believe me, it'll be like a meandering coverage where you say, wait a second, was that really an episode? And this one's a doozy because I think it only has two locations. I mean, if you count different locations on the Enterprise, maybe more, but this isn't about the filming of the show. So where was I? Oh, I was talking about wind. So yeah. Oh, so that's the podcast. You don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to help. I'm here to be your friend. I've been there, sleepless in the deep, dark night. And I'd like to do your favor and keep you company while you drift off. But I was thinking about this with the wind. Like at first, like I said, you would chortle because you'd say, Scooch, you can't interpret the wind. And then I say, well, if I was an expert at wind, I don't know. I don't have a wind expert. And of course, someone might say, you know, break it. What do they say? Break in wind. But no, this isn't a time for jokes like that. It's just if you had someone with expertise in winds, and they were also even narrower. They were an audio wind expert and maybe a sensory wind expert. They could feel the wind, feel the breeze. That's what I used to say when I would run, even though I wasn't very fast. I think I'd say, taste my breeze. How about, no, I don't think any of those scent companies should take that. Taste my breeze. Because you really don't like it. It's more like where was I? So if you were, so we're with an imaginary wind expert and they know everything about the wind. They really got it down. They could actually interpret the wind for you. Now it wouldn't be like an English language. Well, they, I guess if you're communicating in English, they would use English. But they'd say, okay, you know, that's first off, that's coming in from the Northwest. Does that mean it's headed to the South? That would be my first question. Does that mean it's, I never understand that. It's coming from the Northwest. It's going to the Southeast. Is that what, I'm, what we're talking about? And they would say, you might be picking up the temperature in the wind. And that's from this factor. And they'd say, you might notice some moistness or some dryness. This is from that, you know, this thingamajig. What's causing it, then they could go into your whole low pressure, high pressure, whatever the thing, you know, things you use on the map. Maybe they have their own pointer and stuff. Would you believe right now I'm in between weather people? Like, I don't want to, like, I used to watch a channel primarily for Sal Castaneda, just because I feel like, I don't know, I just have an affinity for Sal. He does the traffic. And I did really enjoy the weather person, but then I kind of changed. I'm now doubling up the sale. Don't worry. I mean, I didn't switch to morning news, but I did start watching another news channel just because I liked two of the personalities on there, Reggie and Natasha, I'll say it. And Jessica, I said, I really like it. Like, not that I like them better than, anyway, I shouldn't bring this up in the middle. I was just trying to talk about weather. But where was I? Oh boy, it really went off the rails. Those are all local news people. But so yeah, if you're with an wind expert, they could really interpret the wind, I imagine. Now, I don't know of any wind experts. I'm trying to think of what pot. Maybe this would be the time. I keep saying Dallas from 20,000 Hertz. Maybe this is the one where I get a hold of Dallas and we do a crossover episode about wind. Because Dallas has a podcast about sound. There's also a wonderful podcast, World of Sound, which is shorter form. But Dallas does these deep dives. So maybe that'll be the one. Where was I, though? Oh, well, I guess the difference is if someone was actually an expert in the wind, you'd probably want to listen to their interpretations. So if you're a normal person, you'd be like, okay, can you, unless you're really interested like me, you'd say, okay, is it going to be nice tomorrow or not? Do I need a jacket? Is it going to rain? Is it going to be hot or cold tomorrow? You know, what's up with the wind? You know, blustery wind at night, is it a sailor's delight or not? Or should I take warning? And they'd say, well, the wind can't tell you that. And you say, well, the friggin' sun can. So what's up? What do you mean? How are you an expert? I'm an amateur sun watcher. And then they'd storm out. That's where what really happened. I did have the one expert, Sandy Seabreeze was her pseudonym. And she was the world's foremost expert on wind that was speaking to me, but no longer because of that fallout. And then she said, you don't watch Steve Paulson anymore? And I said, please, look, I love all local newscasters. It's just some currently. I said, come on, give me a break. So whether it's the morning news that bookends your day, or the evening breeze, or maybe you live in Seabreeze Park or something, and that's the name of your evening paper. You say, I'm going to settle in and read the, you know, do the puzzles in the evening breeze. Or maybe you go running at night and you say, or, you know, you're breaking wind. You know, you say, it's time for the evening breeze. Please keep it. I think those jokes went out of fashion when they stopped being funny, which was, fourth grade. But I do like the idea of a newspaper being called the Evening Breeze. Breeze through it. It's only, you know, it's only the lightest news. And they actually could, if you had a newspaper, here's the thing. Get me a GIF on the phone because I know he has WAPO. When I put on my, what is that called when you're a news person? Not a news person, like you're the, what is that called? I don't know what it's called. I know you don't know what it's called because you're my brain. I thought I could, like a person that's a fan of the news. But if so, maybe they could have one, like they say, well, we got the WAPO, that's for hard news or whatever. Now we have the evening breeze. That's for news. That's really nothing. It's a breezy news. Kittens, cute or cuter? How did I get? So anyway, this podcast actually should be a bit of the evening breeze to you. Some fresh air, some lightness, like linens on the line, gently flapping. My gums will be. To help you fall asleep. Now, like I said, it doesn't work for everybody, so give it a few tries. Almost every person that regularly listens to this podcast, even people I've become friends with that make podcasts, they say, well, the first time I listened, I said, what? It took a few times. It takes a few times. This podcast is pretty different, but it's here to help. It's not anything aggressive. So put it on like the wind and see what happens, or like the morning news, and you say, well, the morning weather. What was the weather song? Was it going to be called Dr. Weather or Dr. Breezy? Wasn't McBreezy? Was that, McDreamy? Was there a show with, was there a McBreezy? Maybe, could they put that show back on the air and then give me a recurring role as Dr. Breezy? I don't think I have the locks. I'd need a wig or something. Now peering. What show is that called? Medical Love or something, right? Doctor's Hope. Or you say, okay, hey, I'm Dr. Breezy here with the hair. Used to be weather person. Used to be Dr. Whatever it was, Dr. Wind. Oh, Dr. Breezy. Well, no, I don't know. But anyway, I got to close this intro. I'm glad you're here. And I really want to help you fall asleep, but it's a bit goofy. But give it a few tries. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And I work very hard. I strive in here, and I'd like to help you fall asleep. Thanks. And here's a couple of things we do to keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right, hey everybody, we're talking season 3, episode 18 of Star Trek The Next Generation, Allegiance. And it starts off with a chilling Picard. He's talking about Philo or Phyrox P. Core something, the USS Hood Rendezvous, Browder 4. And he has a snifter of something, and he's leaning back, reading. And he's ready for a nap. He's in his recliner. Also, terraforming was coming up. And then we get a, like, what I thought was an obelisk, but it is something else. It floats over Picard, scans him, and there's a little sound effect, and he's gone. He was totally kicking back. Hold blue obelisk, April 2001. We'll talk about that later. There's a spotlight, and then Picard wakes to a jingle. He's in a room, and he wakes up with a little jingle, and he's in a room, like a dorm room almost, but very sparse. And there's one person sleeping, one person sitting. There's four beds, so it's a quad. And Picard doesn't have cell phone or communicator service there. Because he tries calling the Enterprise, it doesn't work. Worf, 10 to quarters, to something. Because they say, well, there's a weird reading in the Commander Picard's room back on the Enterprise. And they rush down there with Picard and some of his crew. And they ring the bell, of course. I wonder when he would log in. No, he's trying to open the door. He says, secure override. And Picard answers the door with a snifter and a book. He says, WTF, I'm chilling. But it's like, we know, we just saw Picard somewhere else. And the episode opens. And let's see what happens next. We see Picard pacing a weird silver. In the center of the room, there's this weird silver thing. It looks like a hand washing station, like it's a stainless steel. That would be like if it kind of like at a campground restroom or something where you communally, like it has multiple places to wash your hands. I'm trying to think of what other, like a park restroom or a changing room for a beach, but for hand washing. Mitten Hero Picard. So Picard meets his two roommates, Cadet Haro. I think I put Mitten Hero. Matina Haro is the cadet's name. And then Kova Thrall or something of Mizar 2. And they say, we didn't, you know, this is a school assigned, we have assigned dorm rooms. We didn't get to choose our dorm rooms. And we don't actually know what this school is. We were assigned to come to the school and share a dorm room with one another, but we don't even know why. And Picard says, Kova was there for 3 days. One was there for 3 days. One was there for 12 days. And they say, what a strange school. We didn't sign up to go to school here. And, you know, we usually get some roommate preferences, but we don't have any. And they said, also, we're on bedroom duty. We've been sent to our rooms. And Picard says, well, we haven't even gotten to go to school yet and have fun. And then Picard says, well, there's four beds. And then a fourth sleeper arrives. Oh, no, he says, four beds implies four roommates. And so then the fourth person shows up. And he's a bit of the, like, what is that, Bluto. Like, he's a bit of a wild man, a wild roommate. And they say, also, we've been locked in a room or something. Maybe I might be going out of order here. Let me see where my notes are. Picard pacing. I said that four sleepers. Oh yeah, the fourth person didn't show up yet, but they say, hey, by the way, this isn't a hand washing station. It's for jelly food. And they have like Jell-O Jiggler food pucks. Some of this came up, a lot of this reminded me of, was that Snowpiercer, this part, just the food in the station. And they say that also maybe this is part of our schooling because we can't get out of the room. It's a weird complex code. And they said, we're like mice in a maze, maybe. Maybe we're not just, are we like studying here or are we the studied? Then I see Enterprise said, thank you. Oh, because Worf says, we're here at our rendezvous point with the hood. And then Picard's a little bit, this is a different Picard, obviously, or something. And he says, how about we check out that pulsar and the Lanka cluster? And Data goes, what? And Picard goes, what do you think about that pulsar? They go, well, it's big, and 4 to 6 to 5 solar masses. And like new Picard says, well, how far away is it? They go, 34 minutes. He goes, let's go. And they say, what about Hood? We're supposed to meet them here. And then he goes, by the way, go warp 2, not warp 7. That's what Wesley said, 30 minutes of warp 7. And Wesley goes, that'll take 31 hours. And he goes, yep, let's do it. And Riker goes, what about the hood? He goes, we'll have to delay that. Let him know. And then he goes, never mind, actually. Or no, Riker says, let them know. Picard says, no communications. And he goes, I got to talk to you in private. Data, take the bridge. Let's see what my other notes say. Warp 2, 31 hours or 5 minutes. And no one likes it. The music even says, oh boy, everyone's making faces behind Picard's back. All something, all tinsy. Music is all twangy or something. Twangy, I think. And then we're back at the dorm room. Picard's, he's trying to put in the first 6 prime numbers to send out a message, a little bit like, he says, then they'll know we're intelligent, at the school. Maybe this is a test to see if we know our prime numbers. And we end up that Thrall, the one being is, kind of a bit of tough to deal with being a teachable person moment. A person full of teachable moments. And he says, I know what we're doing. I just want to know why. And Picard says, just to figure out if it's a test or not. What do you got to ask so many questions for? And he goes, Picard goes, also, we got to figure out what's special about us, why we got chosen to go to school without getting to choose our roommates or whatever. And he says, there's nothing special about us at all. And he goes, Harl, what did you study? She goes, field coils is what I'm best at, propulsion systems. And she goes, but I'm only an academy student. I don't know why they would choose me, a cadet. And he goes, what about you, Mazarian? What do you got? He goes, and then he says, what about you? Maybe are you in a truce? Your country's in a truce with this other planet? And she goes, yeah, our planet gets along with everybody. And the Mazarian says, that's what the Mazarian says. And he goes, your planet's been conquered 6 times. And he goes, yeah, but we're peaceful people. We don't do any conquering. We don't have confrontation. The guard says, perfect for a sleep podcast if it was imaginary like that other one. And Picard goes, you got any ideas who did this? And he goes, no one bears us any malice. Picard goes, what about you personally? And he goes, no, I'm just a bit of an irritant, but I don't think anybody would go to this much trouble. Sign me up for a college or university. And Picard goes, I'm just trying to figure things out. Relax, bruh. And he goes, well, I don't have any answers. I'm a simple public servant. Then our fourth, the wild roommate arrives and kind of goes, well, let's party, right away. And everyone's there. We're like, well, we're not ready to party. And Picard, Maropa, Bolians, Mazarians, the guy was like, he wanted to go to a costume party dressed as a boar, the new roommate. And Picard goes, don't calm down, man. You got to trust me. This isn't a place to party right now. Let's work together. We're gonna try to get back. We don't want to be at this school. We want to get back to our where we live. And he goes, I know where you come from, the party planet, where you like celebrate boars, right? I was there 12 years ago on the Stargazer. And the dude goes, okay, I'll chill. Then it's poker night at the regular Enterprise. And Riker, LaForge, Troy, Data are playing. And Picard rolls in. It's awkward city. And awkward boss, like out of movie Office Space. He goes, sorry, it looks like I was just passing by. I figured you guys were having fun. He goes, Geordi, how's that poker going? Geordi goes, great, sir. You want to play? Nah. He goes, by the way, what's our engine efficiency? And Geordi goes, as a matter of fact, it's 93%, boss. He goes, huh, 93%, eh? Wonder if we could get it to 95%. And Geordi goes, get right on it. He goes, no, you could do it later. Just thinking out loud. You're playing poker. And Geordi goes, dude, I get it. I'm on it. 95%. We're on it. And then Troy goes, you want to play? And Picard goes, no, I'll just stand around here awkwardly for a while. And Troy wins a hand. And he goes, by the way, could I talk to you for a minute? Sorry, I keep messing this poker game up, but I wanted to bend your ear, Counselor Troy. And he goes, do I seem paranoid to you? And Troy goes, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know. Is anybody talking about me behind my back? And she goes, the crew loves you. He goes, how much? She goes, a lot. He goes, they're going to have to really push their trust for a little while. And he goes, well, you'll keep me up to date if anybody's talking about me behind my back, right? And she goes, oh, sure, sir, of course. Then we're back at the dorm room. We meet Esek. Esek is the new roommate. And the other dude... is like a, like Thal is like a, the guy's from Chalnoth, and he's like a troll, the guy that's already at the dorm. He's got everything to say about Chalnoth people. And so then they start talking about who's, you know, whose planet's better, whose names are better. And then Haro says, I'm from Bolaris 9. And Isak makes an assumption that she's a child. She goes, I'm not a child. I'm at the Academy, Starfleet Academy. And Picard goes, I'm trying to figure out why we're here, you know, what we're doing here. And Mr. Thrall plays the know-it-all, kind of. He says, I'm the brightest of all my people. Sniff the only Ford. What does that mean? Let me see what that says. Thrall's like, got stuff to say. Everything and perfect. He says, maybe the Romulans are trying to do it. Oh, he says, I got the most brain power and my species do. He goes, I'm the smartest of smartest beings. And they go, what is there to eat around here? The new roommate says that. And he goes, I don't eat jello jigglers. And he goes, if I don't get something fresh in 3 days, it's going to be a problem. And then Picard's getting his checkup with Beverly. He passes his checkup, and she goes, is there some reason you came in for a checkup anyway? And he goes, well, how about dinner tonight? What do you think? And she goes, did 10 forward? He goes, no, my place, more intimate. And she goes, you're full of surprises. And he goes, I take that to be a yes. They're trying to get out of the dorm room, and they say, is it wise to attempt escape? Why don't we be patient? And Picard goes, it's a risk I'm willing to take. And the one dude, the know-it-all, says, I refuse to help. And Esok is simple. Picard goes, open that panel. He goes, Esok, break. Picard goes, make it so. And then they hack into something, but then they get a green light that says you can't leave the dorm room. And the Mazarian says, told you so. And then we're at Picard's quarters. A candlelight, a Picard in his robe shirt, flasks and flutes. And Beverly says, what's on your mind, Jean-Luc? You've been something on your mind all evening long. And he goes, you know me so well. She goes, well, we spent a lot of time together. He goes, I'm preoccupied about us and the choices we've made. And he goes, we're a little isolated. And she goes, well, we're professionals, by the way, professional detachment. And Picard goes, too detached. What about getting closer? She goes, what do you mean, Jean-Luc? You want to get closer? And he crossed the line. She goes, I mean, it's an imaginary Picard. He goes, you're an attractive woman. She goes, well, you're an attractive man, but it's not that simple. And she told Picard, goes, well, what if I wasn't your commanding officer? And Beverly goes, you know what? I'm not interested. I'm comfortable the way our relationship is. And Picard, new Picard says, well, what about dancing? And she goes, you don't dance. He goes, well, tonight I do. And he goes, I'm glad you're back. That Pulaski was really, chuffing my chuffers or whatever. And he goes, I missed you. And she goes, oh, I missed you too. And then they kind of have a kiss, or they don't kind of have a kiss, they do. Let's see. He goes, let me lay down some of this smooth Charlie Brown jazz for us to dance to. And she goes, are you playing games with me, bro? Or is this for real? And he goes, yeah, speaking of games, let's call it a night. And he shows Beverly the door, and she gives him a what the WTF face. He closes the door right in her face. Then we're back at the note, like, and Mizarian's like, told you so. Everyone starts accusing everybody of being the insider with the door, with the school. And they see, who's the imposter? Mizarian, the Asakian, the Thrallian? Who's working with the school? Like, are they doing a study on us? And is this a double blind study or a single blind study, or is a student run? Who's an imposter? Is someone testing stuff on us? And they go back and forth, trashing each other's planets, talking about what they did. There is a star moment, because everybody's like, you're full of orders, Picard. I don't know why I put a bus. Oh, he busts her because she says, when you cured the Phyrox thing, which was like literally 4 hours ago. Then we go back to the first officer's log. Yeah, because they're like, are you keeping us busy? Whatever. They're arguing. And Riker says, why are we going to, this is his log. He says, I don't know why we're going to this pulsar at half speed or half impulse. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, no, it's a meeting. It's a staff meeting. That's what he's saying, though. But it's all the officers. They're saying, well, sometimes the captain gives weird, Riker's worried. Can't put my finger on it. Captain's detached, Troy says, from his emotions. Geordi's like, well, I got that 96% engine efficiency done. Oh, no, that was just Troy and Riker talking. And then Picard says, good job, Geordi, on the 96% efficiency. Oh, this is at 10 forward. And Picard rolls in. He says, ales for everyone. You're the finest crew commanders ever had. Let's toast and I'll sing a song. And that's when all the officers are like, what in the heck? They all exchange looks. Worf, Geordi, Riker, and Troy. Then they have a meeting, and they go, Riker says, that's not the commander I know. He goes, he's trying to have us efficiencies, and we trust him, but I don't know. He goes, Geordi's like, why'd he show up at the poker game? And Troy goes, he's worried about people talking behind his back. And Beverly's there. They say, any medical stuff, stress? She goes, no. They say, anything unusual? She goes, yeah, he asked me to dinner, and it was unusual, totally unusual. And Riker goes, there's something going on. And Troy goes, well, there's no telepathic stuff going on. And Data goes, what about that beginning of the episode with that abnormal energy reading? And Worf goes, this is not enough to justify mutiny. What else? And they say, well, the next move is his. We'll just see what happens. And then we're back, and everyone's still accusing. They say, Picard, how are we know you're not the one running this test on us? Picard goes, we have to set aside our differences and our fears to work together. Come on. In allegiance to get out of here. And then the thrall of the Mazarian still like, well, what if someone's up to something? Picard goes, we still got to work together. Can't allow our suspicions. He goes, we can do this. Then they show up at the star. They're like 20 million community. He goes, take us to 20 million kilometers from the stars. And they go, well, the shields, Data says, the shields only work for 18 minutes that close. And Picard goes, good. And then Riker goes, can I talk to you, Commander Picard? He goes, yeah, let's go in the back. And then Riker, plan hatched. Wesley has a worried face. Because it seems like this was planned. And then Riker goes, what's our mission? And Picard goes, not telling you. And Riker goes, and I'm taking over. Riker goes, why? He goes, because we're so close to that sun. It's not a good idea. No reason for it. Picard goes, then you know about. And Riker says, you're being erratic. He goes, erratic enough for mutiny? Do you have enough to convince a board of inquiry? And then he turns it on him on Riker. He says, maybe you're the problem, Riker. He goes, I relieve you of duty. Maybe you're under stress. Go to sick bay and think things over. And then everybody works together. The three of them work together in the dorm room to open the door finally. Picard works at the door panel. Door's open, but there's another door behind it. So it is some kind of test. But Picard glares at the cadet. Then we're back at the Enterprise. The shields don't work because they're too close to the sun. And Picard's just staring. He says, move us to 10 million kilometers. And Data says, we can't do that. There won't be a ship anymore. And Picard says, take us in, Crusher, Wesley. And Riker says, belay that order. You're relieved of duty. Oh, no, Picard says that to Riker. He says, Worf, take Riker to his quarters. And Worf puts his hands behind his back. And Picard says, I gave you an order. And Riker says, maintain your position, Lieutenant. And Picard goes, this is the end of your career and everyone involved. Riker goes, you don't have any of the concern Captain Picard would for the ship and the crew. And Picard says, Mr. Worf, escort Commander Riker from the bridge. Wesley, I put double question mark. What does that mean? Oh, Instant Crusher, take us away. Oh, Riker says, Wesley, get us away from this pulsar. And he goes, aye, Commander. And then Riker says, engage. So Riker just takes over. Then the note all says, I hope you're satisfied, Picard. We never got out of here. There's two doors. And then the party guy is like, you know, your voice is getting on my nerves. And then Picard says, well, I think this charade's gone on long enough, Haro. Don't you? And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, oh, yeah, you know what I mean. This is an experiment, and you're the one running it. You're seeing how we react under pressure. And she goes, well, how did you know? Let's see, fair, this is a test. We do have something in common. He goes, we all have different ways to react to authority. You're a collaborator because you're part of the chain of command of Starfleet. You just refer to command. The partier is an anarchist who doesn't follow authority. I'm a commander, trained to command. Oh, wait, I think the Mizarian was the one who defers, and the other one was a defer, you know, sworn to obey. And he goes, there's a bunch of obstacles, kind of like an escape room. This isn't a dorm room. It's a test escape room. Maybe this is marketing research. There's only Jello jigglers, doors behind doors. He goes, but you made this one too hard of an escape room, even for Picard, which makes me think that that was never your intention all along. He goes, you kept dealing us reverses to set us against one another. So it's more like an escape room, so everybody gets on one another's nerves. And he goes, I don't think you know about all the stuff. If you're a first-year cadet, you wouldn't have known about our Corcolari 5, you know, trip for sure. So he goes, drop the pretense. I'm not playing in this escape room. It's experiment over, marketing research over. And she goes, you're correct. And then she turns into three balls of light. And they show up, they say, hey, we're trying to come up with this new escape room that would work across all beings and planets. And he goes, also, we replaced you with replicas. We wanted to see how that was going. And we communicate by telepathy. Riker took control. But now you've tainted the marketing results, so we're going to return you to your places of origin. Also, they were in light blue suits. I don't know what that says. Torch something. Let me see if I can find it. It's the planet they're from. I don't know. Torch something. But they're in cool blue suits. And then Picard and the beings appear on the bridge, or one of maybe the Picard gets changed back, and Picard says, "Hold your positions." Oh, then Picard turns. Picard turns back into one of his original beings, and Picard goes, "Why did you think you could just take us to do marketing research on escape rooms without our permission?" And they say, because we're a marketing planet. We don't believe in permit. You know, we believe everyone should be part of market research. And we wanted to find out what would work. And, you know, that was what we were doing. Intriguing research. Regardless, we have no right to do that just because you're curious and you want to do research. And they go, why not? And regardless, we have rights as beings. And they go, this morality thing is not, you know, it conflicts with marketing sometimes. Meanwhile, Picard's giving looks to everybody, and he goes, okay, Mr. Worf. And they put them in a little bit of a circle thing. They catch the beings. And the doctor, oh, that's later. And they go, why are you holding us? And Picard goes, because it's not fun to be held at a dorm room without your permission. That's really an escape room for marketing research. And he goes, I don't even need telepathy to communicate with my crew. Did you see how I just did that? Totes my goats. They said, well, we don't like this. We don't want to be in our dorm room. We didn't mean any harm. And Picard goes, you know, that's, you can't just be, you know, you're going to, he goes, hit the road and don't mess with it. And he goes, by the way, let's go back, meet up with the Hood, warp 8, no slow stuff. And Wesley goes, great to have you back. And Picard goes, how's it going, number one? He goes, great. He goes, no, that lookalike didn't do anything weird. It was a convincing. Riker goes, convincing, but not perfect. And Picard goes, not perfect how? He goes, it sang. It was a singer. And I didn't believe you were a good singer. And he goes, a singer? Looking forward to reading your report. At least I think I do. Then Crusher comes in. She gives him a long look. And Picard goes, doctor, and she goes, captain, and then there's still a long look. And Picard goes, uh-oh, and then he says, Wesley says, ready, and he says, engage. And engage they do, and they head off, and then, you know, meet up with the Hood. Speaking of the USS Hood, I looked up over on Memory Alpha, the wiki. It's an Excelsior-class ship. Originally, it was under the command of Robert DeSoto, and Riker was there after he left Potemkin in 2361. Also, while he was first officer, Geordi LaForge was there in 2062. And it's appeared in a lot of episodes, Counter at Farpoint, the Pegasus, they talk about it. And the Defector, Allegiance, this episode, Tin Man, Brothers, Redemption 2, Chain of Command. So a lot of different episodes. And then it even appears in some Deep Space Nine episodes. So that's a USS Hood. But for me, it also brings up Harry Hood, the fish song. Harry, where do you go when the lights go out? And the show's the song's first played in 1985, 10/30/85. And according to Fish.net, in 1985, Mike Gordon, John Fishman, and Paige McConnell lived with Brian Miles Long on King Street in Burlington, across from a regional Hood Creamery bottling plant. And the milk tanks bore the huge smiling face of Harry Hood, who was an animated character from their advertising campaigns. He was a milkman that lived in your fridge with Hood milk. And would talk in there when you open up your doors and say how great Hood milk is and creamery products from Hood. But what happened to Harry when the door closed? Brian Long was the first to ask Harry, where do you go when the lights go out? And then I guess Trey and John Fishman were in Greece in the 85, and they had a very inspiring trip. And they did a lot of songwriting. And when they got back to the King Street house, there was a former tenant named Mr. Minor who was still receiving mail. And there was a big, what was it called, a form letter or something. And it said, thank you, Mr. Minor. And that's how the song was born. But the good thing is you can feel good about Hood. And you can read more over at Fish.net about the history of them playing the song. Speaking of history, let's talk about terraforming. According to Wikipedia, Earth shaping, the hypothetical process of modifying atmosphere, temperature, and topography or ecology to make it more Earth-like or habitable. And a great set of books is Kim Stanley Robinson's Red Mars, Green Mars, and Blue Mars. I really enjoyed particularly Red Mars. It's been about 10 or 12 years since I read those books, but it's developable from science fiction and actual science. First used in 1942 by Jack Williamson, but the concept predates the term. Could a planet be altered deliberately, feasibly to make it more Earth-like and hospitable? Well, Carl Sagan proposed doing it on Venus in that article in Science in 1961, seeding the atmosphere with algae, which would convert water, nitrogen, and carbon dioxide into organic compounds. And as this process removed carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, the greenhouse effect would be reduced until the surface temperatures dropped to comfortable levels. And then the carbon would be sequestered in graphite or some other form of carbon on the planet's surface. But then they found out there was a lot of sulfur in Venus's atmosphere, so they didn't think it would work. Then Sagan thought about Mars in 1973. Maybe an idea of planetary ecosynthesis. And the first conference session on terraforming, referred to as planetary modeling, was organized that same year. And it goes on and on. But really interesting, the idea of engineering a planet to make it hospitable. Is it possible? But I guess they were doing it in Star Trek. So it is. That's a fictional show. But I do know, speaking of science fiction, they did re-release 2001 A Space Odyssey this summer. And I thought it was an obelisk, but it's really a monolith in this episode of Star Trek above Captain Commander Picard. So I want to look up some, there's the monoliths in 2001. So over on Wikipedia, I looked up some stuff about the monolith here. And it says, as with many elements of the film, the iconic monolith is subject to countless interpretations, religious, alchemical, historical, and evolutionary. To the extent which it appears and presented is allows the viewer to project meaning onto it related to the film. But the monolith is there at epic transitions in the history of human evolution from evolution of apes to humans and the odyssey of mankind. But if you read into Clark's novel, it has a very simple explanation. Though it might not explain the ending of the movie. Now, Rolling Stone reviewer Bob McClay saw the film as a four-movement symphony with a deliberate realism. And what structurally unites all four episodes of the film is the monolith, which is in the movie an unresolvable enigma. Each time a monolith is shown, human beings transcend to a different level of cognition. And the tool usage and the same thing. Four times it appears on the African savanna on the moon, in space orbiting Saturn, and near somebody's bed at the end of the movie. And each time the way humans interact change. Let's see here. In reading, that gets pretty deep. So, but let's go to the book here to read, like, just find out a little bit more. In Space Odyssey, the book, spoiler, but this is the book and not the movie. There are machines built by an unseen extraterrestrial series. They've been discovered by humans. They're never described in much detail who created them, but the knowledge of their existence is given to Dave after he is transported by the Stargate to his new home, as detailed in the two novels, 2001 and 2010. The existence of the species is only hypothesized by the rest of humanity. But it's clear that it's an artifact of non-human origin. Whoever built it developed intergalactic travel millions or billions of years before present time. Possibly, Clark calls them the firstborn. Maybe the first sapient species to possess a significant capability of interstellar travel. So it's pretty cool. Cool to think about. Yeah, I don't know if the movie's still out, but it's worth checking out. Another ship we want to talk about over at Memory Alpha is the Stargazer, which also comes out this episode. In 2333, Jean-Luc Picard was a bridge officer on the Stargazer, which he described in Relics as overworked and underpowered, always on the verge of falling apart. And Picard took over the command of the Sigisu Bridge, as he describes in Tapestry. And that was, he was viewed so positive that he was giving his first command, a post he held for 22 years. And Jack Crusher was one of his crew members. saw action in the Kardashian Wars or the Kardashian Wars. Saw action in the Kardashian eras. And Ricard even used lowered the shields to try to generate goodwill. But that was when trouble happened. It wasn't a good move. And in 2053, Jack Crusher went to the big thing in the sky. And in 2355, it was lost. Picard had to use the Picard maneuver to overcome things, but the ship was lost, and that's what Picard was court-martialed for. But he was absolved by all things. But then in 2364, they found adrift, the Ferengi found it. So just a little bit about the Stargazer. You shouldn't be gazing, though, if you're a starship. You know, you should be working. Then there was a song Picard sang at 10 forward, and the name of the song is Heart of Oak. A popular drinking song, according to Memory Alpha, at Starfleet Academy. Sung after toasts, and the lyrics go like this: "Cheer, come cheer up, my lads! It's glory, it's just glory we steer to add something new to this wonderful year. To honor, we call you as freemen, not slaves. For who so free as the son of the waves? Hearts of oak are our ships, jolly tars are our men." We'll always be ready, steady boys, steady. We'll fight and we'll conquer again and again. And it sounds a little bit, no wonder everybody's making a face. You see, Picard, that song, no, it's a, you don't sing it. It's a fan, you know, I don't like it. So now it makes even more sense why people be like, well, how distasteful. And then Mutiny came up. I read the book Mutiny and the Bounty probably maybe 20 years ago. I don't know if I've ever seen the movie. But I did enjoy the book about HMS Bounty, which the mutiny took place 28th of April, 1789. Fletcher Christian and other disaffected crewmen took it over from William Bligh and set them out on a thing. They settled on Tahiti, Pitcairn Island, and maybe I didn't read this book. Maybe I read another mutiny book, but I read it before I read Moby Dick, 3,500 nautical miles. They had left England in 1787 to collect and transport breadfruit plants from Tahiti to the West Indies. And after a layover in Tahiti, many of the men had formed relationships with people there, and they had become undisciplined. And Bligh's commander, it deteriorated his command, and he kept giving out serious punishments, particularly to Fletcher Christian. And so 3 weeks back at sea, they kicked him off the ship. You know, then they said, England said, no way. Bligh got back, told on them. April, 3 years later, they send Pandora to catch them. And they actually did, which is amazing, that 3 years later, they did catch some of the crew. They couldn't find Christian and his crew. They turned around, ran into the Great Barrier Reef. That's a little bit about the bounty. I guess it wasn't the one I think the one I read was fictional. Some stuff that came up in the episode. And hopefully you're set a sail for dreamland. Good night. I want to say thanks and good night to everybody supporting the show, Patreon, Colleen, Megan, and Liz. Thanks, and good night. Anyang, Mark, and Craig. Thanks, and good night. Holly, Linda, and Emily. Thanks, and good night. Will, Daniel, and Rosanna. Thanks, and good night. Dahlia, Catherine, and Shell. Thanks, and good night. Dawn Marie, Melanie, and Cara, thanks, and good night. Sarah, Linda, and Tom, thanks, and good night. Kara, Sarah with an H, and Margot, thanks, and good night. Matt, Emily, and Jolene, thanks, and good night. Richard, Elizabeth, and Lawrence, thanks, and good night. Roseanne, Lydia, and Lauren, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jeffrey, Molly, and Cheryl, thank you, thanks, and good night. Linda, Danielle, and Erica, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Scott, and Amy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Liz, Chelsea, and Kirsty, thank you, thanks, and good night. Daniel, Whitney, and Rebecca, thank you, thanks, and good night. Chad, Declan, and Amy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Helen, Gao, and Ryan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nancy, Kyla, and Kate, thank you, thanks, and good night. Stephanie, Nina, and Jess, thanks, and good night. Delicious, Rebecca, and Brian, thank you, thanks, and good night. Carly, Sophie, and Rainya, thank you, thanks, and good night. Madeline, Laura, and Matt, thank you, thanks, and good night. Ashley, Evelyn, and Sarah with an H, thank you, thanks, and good night. Samuel, Amy, and Maria, thank you, thanks, and good night. Heath, Carol, and John, thank you, thanks, and good night. Reiko, Rose, and Spencer, thank you, thanks, and good night. Britt, Esther, and Christine, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Wendy, and Gabrielle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Charlie, Ellie, and Allison, thanks, and good night. And Grant, Constant, and Pamela. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the support. And good night. Sleeping Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. Check out all those other great shows at nightvalepresents.com. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. This is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.